The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest rose to fame during the pandemic for her portrayal of Marianne Sheridan in the adaptation of Sally Rooney's best-selling book Normal People, receiving nominations for the Golden Globes and BAFTAs. And she joins me now as we look forward to the release of her new film, where she stars in the leading role of Kaya in the much-anticipated film Where the Crawdads Sing, which hits our screens on Friday and which, happily, I have seen. Daisy Edgar-Jones, good morning and welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's a terrific movie. Have to just lay that marker down right away.
Thank you.
Before we talk about the movie, I want to talk to you about your meteoric rise, because that's what it is. What were you like before Normal People happened to you? What was your career like? Where was it going?
I guess I was pretty much a normal person. I've been working as an actor since I was about 17. I was in a show called Cold Feet. I had a very small part in that for about 4 years. But other than that, I was kind of working in various cafes and not mostly auditioning and not
a fairly typical jobbing actress.
Yes.
Working mostly at other things rather than
exactly.
At your craft. Now, what is your background? I know from seeing the movie that you're a master or mistress, rather, of accents and dialogue, because it was terrific. I mean, I would not have suspected that you were not an American actor.
Oh, thank you.
So tell me about your background. What was it like at home?
So I grew up in London, in North London, but my dad's Scottish and my mum's from the north of Ireland. And I live with my granddad. He lived with us for a very long time. So I had a lot of very strong accents in the house. And it was always, stressful when the rugby was on because I didn't know who to support.
Yeah. So no acting in the family?
No, none at all. I mean, my mum, before I was born, was a film editor, actually. So she's sort of behind the camera in post-production. And my dad, he's sort of in the arts in a very different sort of arena. But he used to produce Big Brother, actually, which was obviously a reality TV show. So slightly different. But I guess they both knew what it felt like to be self-employed.
But that's the point. Self-employed and in, broadly speaking, showbiz. That injunction from, was it Noel Coward? Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. Was there any resistance when you decided to pursue this very precarious life?
Sure. Well, my mum actually, and both my mum and dad, I think they saw that I loved it. I did all the school plays, and I think they saw that, I really enjoyed it. And so my mum encouraged me to audition for a company called the National Youth Theatre, which is this big, big youth company, theatre company in the UK. And I got in when I was about 15. And it was through them that I met a casting director who put me in touch with my agent, who I've now been with for, a good long while now, about 8 years now.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the building blocks to get an agent. I mean, many people struggle with that process, that first step. But anyway, you got on the lowest rung of the ladder, getting an agent. Now, when you got Normal People, did you have any sense of where that might go?
Well, I just turned 21 when we started filming, and it was my first time playing a lead role. And actually, unbelievably for Paul, it was his first TV job, which is crazy because he's just so natural in front of the camera so immediately. But it was such a special experience making it. It truly was. And I think we all felt like we were onto something really important because of just...
So even at the time?
Yeah, I think, and it was hard to know if it just felt so special because everyone that made it loved the story so much and it was made with so much love. And you know, it was a really fun experience. And for me, it felt like almost like my uni experience. But you never know if that kind of special feeling is going to translate to an audience. And so I think I had no reference for what it would feel like to be in something that was widely
Did you
watched.
Talk to your mother as a film editor to say, because I've used this expression before, it's all in the edit.
It really
at
is.
At the end of the day. So did you talk to her about your experience and how you were feeling about it? And, did she know who was going to be editing it, for instance?
So the editor, Nathan, he's worked a lot with Lenny, who was our director on most of Lenny's, if not all of Lenny's projects. And I really do, you're so right. A lot of it is made in the edit. And actually with Normal People, there's a huge amount of non-dialogue scenes. Mm-hmm. And it's all in the exchanges, of looks and things like that. And the beautiful music, like the Stephen Rennick score. And I love seeing how, a filmmaker will piece together, all of the scenes. And with Lenny, he likes to shoot on lots of different angles. So we had lots of different coverages from different sort of places to sort of imbue each scene with a different meaning, you know, whether it's from Marin's perspective or Connell's.
So you had a good feeling about it, but, you know, it's down to the public, the viewing public, to decide, and they loved it in spades completely. So how was your reaction then when you realised that what you thought was special, everyone else thought was special too?
It was just such a surreal time because the show came out during the sort of height of the pandemic. So the weird feeling of being, you know, in lockdown and not being able to kind of go outside other than for your one daily walk and not being able to see your family and or friends, but having this kind of weird online experience of being told that the show was doing really well and was breaking records and things like that, but having no actual real life experience of it was a very surreal feeling, really.
Now, after all the accolades that surrounded Normal People, what difference did that make to you and indeed to your agent? Was your agent fielding calls all the time?
I don't know. I mean, I got to sort of, when we came out of lockdown a little bit, I auditioned for a few things and I got Where the Crawdads Sing in the summer of 2020, and then all of last year it went from job to job to job. So I kind of went from a COVID bubble to COVID bubble, you know, in every different job. So it was just, I just felt so lucky to be working, really.
Now, many people have read the book. It sold millions of copies. So had you read the book before you came to the movie?
I actually read the book while I was auditioning. So I got my audition through and I was like, oh my gosh. And I ran out and bought
I better
book
read this thing.
Yeah, I better read this. I read it as quickly as I could. I was actually filming on a sci-fi show called War of the Worlds. So I was actually reading it on a spaceship, which was a very very different from, you know, space to the marsh. It was very different environments. But yeah, and then I read it as quickly as I could and just fell in love with the world, really.
Yeah. Now, the leading character, Kaya, is, this is not a spoiler because it's at the very beginning of the movie. She is an abandoned child who grows up and is living in a marsh, basically, and is, you know, a creature of the wild herself. And she is accused of a terrible thing.
Yes, she grows up, as you said, sort of abandoned, and she kind of learns how to navigate the world and understand it through her observations of nature. And she has such a love and respect of that environment. And then, you know, she's treated quite badly by the people in town. They don't really understand her. And so when the body of a young boy is found, she's the first to be accused of his murder.
Yeah. And that is at the heart of the whole movie and the whole plot and all of that. And we can't say too much about this for fear of spoiling it, not for those who've read the book, but for those who have not read the book and who are yet to see the movie. But she is charged with the death of this young boy. So let's have a listen to Kaya, that's you, speaking to her lawyer about the possibility of taking the stand to convince the jury of her innocence, as indeed the lawyer is convinced of her innocence. Have a listen.
This might help you. For the jury to be able to hear from you, for them to be able to see you as the kind person you truly are.
They're never going to see me like that.
Listen, I know you have a world of reasons to hate these people.
No, I never hated them. They hated me. I mean, they laughed at me. They left me. They harassed me. They attacked me. You want me to beg for my life? I don't have it in me. I will not offer myself up. They can make their decision, but they're not deciding anything about me.
Now, who would have thought that you were a London girl? I mean, this is the point. You've got to sustain a performance as a girl living in the Louisiana swamp. Where was it actually shot?
It was actually shot just outside New Orleans. So, yeah, we were, it's set in North Carolina, but we were sort of filming in the marshes.
North Carolina.
Yeah,
but all sorts of critters around, I would suspect.
Oh, a huge amount. I definitely had a few run-ins with some critters. Yeah, it was very different from North London, as you said.
and the locations, I mean, you were literally in the swamp, in the marsh for much of the shoot, I'd imagine.
We really were. And, you know, that's one of the parts of the film I'm really proud of, is I think that our DOP Polly has just captured that that environment so beautifully. And when you read the book, it's an incredibly immersive read. And actually watching the film on a big screen, you feel like you're there. And it's so beautiful. And as an actor, it was really helpful not having to imagine it all on a green screen. You know, we could actually be there and be, you know, feel the heat and hear the cicadas. And yeah.
I'd imagine your spaceship was probably a lot of green screen.
It was. It was.
So the movie, I mean, when someone from the UK gets a job that many young American actresses would have been aspiring to, do you get any of the green-eyed monster?
I don't know. Not that I've experienced. Yeah.
Not knowingly. What has been the reaction to the movie?
Well, it's quite incredible to see how many sort of people are coming to see it in cinemas. I think another thing I'm really proud of is this isn't a huge action film. It's not a superhero film. It's a quiet story about a young girl and her struggle to survive in a very hostile environment. And the fact that, you know, in particular, an older female audience who, you know, have been maybe fearful to come back to the cinema are coming back and enjoying it and getting lost in that world. And it's really exciting because I think I don't want cinema to die out. I want people to continue to share in a film experience and watch it, you know.
Did you feel a heavy responsibility playing Kaya? You know, when a book is beloved, often people have in their mind's eye exactly how the characters should look and sound. And often they say, I wouldn't have picked him or her to play that part. But then they are converted by the brilliance of the performances.
Yeah, there's definitely a pressure when you're taking on a character that people already love. And I think it's also fun as an actor too, because you're part of a shared vision. You know, when I read the book, I had a really clear idea of Kaya and the story and the world. And it's very fun when you come to a film adaptation with, you know, everyone else's different vision marrying together to make one overall picture. You've got the costumer's idea of it and the, you know, set designers. And it's really fun to kind of be involved in that collaboration. And I think I've learned that all you can try and do is hopefully capture the tone of the book and the feeling when you finish it. I hope that when you put the book down, you feel the same way as when you finish the film.
Did you have to develop new skills? Because Kaya is obviously a very good draftswoman.
She, yes.
Because that is what she does, basically, yeah, with her time.
I did a couple of drawing lessons. I mean, I cannot take any credit for any of the drawings in them. I'm not a very good drawer, but I enjoy kind of doing that. And I also learned how to ride a boat. And I got to do lots of boating around these amazing necklaces of lagoons. And it was so fun.
I've just got a text from one of my listeners, Kevin, who says you got to act with another legendary Irish actor, Gabriel Byrne.
I did. Yeah, I did on War of the Worlds, actually. Yeah. Yes, which was really cool. Gabriel's, one of the loveliest people I've ever spoken to, actually. And he was really great because I worked with him when I was 20. So I was really at the start of a lot of my career. And he just offered such lovely advice. So.
All the texts coming in. Big fan of Normal People. Love Daisy and Cold Feet as well.
Oh.
So someone who saw that. Can't wait to see the movie. I read the book twice.
Oh, wow.
And I loved it. So there's the pressure on your shoulders to deliver for the person who's read the book twice. What next for Daisy?
Well, I'm kind of really excited to take on characters I haven't played before. And I think that's the hope, really, is to try and change and challenge myself, really, and take characters on that are unexpected, and also just work with filmmakers. I realize the more I do TV and film that it's really a filmmaker's sort of medium, and being involved in a filmmaker's sort of version of a story and them having a real stamp, a sort of visual stamp or a kind of tone that I just really want to kind of work with filmmakers I admire, really.
Well, it's a pleasure meeting you, Daisy. Thank you very much for joining us in studio this morning. Where the Crawdads Sing hits our screens on Friday, and I would recommend it thoroughly to one and all. Daisy Edgar-Jones, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.